Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast on this five-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook incident. And so we're building a case a little bit, getting to Sandy Hook in a circuitous fashion, as I said at the outset of today's broadcast. Part two, we've sort of delved into a little bit. We're getting into that. The part two, I would title Quis Custodiat Ipsos Custodis. That is the Latin phrase meaning who will guard the guards themselves, translated literally. And back to George Bernard Shaw, if the wicked flourish and the fittest survive, nature must be the god of rascals. That's George Bernard Shaw, the Fabian socialist in Maxims for Revolutionists, published in 1903. So, speaking of this brand of nonsense and malfeasance and these rascals, we sort of talked about in the first hour, building a case, a pattern of behavior, if you will, and the FBI specifically engaging in certain behavior that leads folks like Trevor Aronson to say in the TED Talk that he gave back in March of 2015, as he said to open the talk, the FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization. That's a shocking statement, and he proved it. And it's also the subject of his book titled The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism, published back in 2014. And Amazon describes it as such, a groundbreaking work of investigative journalism. The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism, exposes how the FBI has, under the guise of engaging in counterterrorism, since 9/11, built a network of more than 15,000 informants whose primary purpose is to infiltrate Muslim communities to create and facilitate phony terrorist plots, so that the Bureau can then claim it is winning the war on terror. Paperback edition of The Terror Factory includes all new information on the FBI's counterterrorism efforts related to the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, as well as how the government has used potentially illegal FISA information in sting cases. This gets back to some of the headlines that I mentioned in the first hour along those lines. So these are just some of the points, the high points mentioned in the first hour. So you have the FBI creating, staging false flag strategy of tension type events. This is an organization that clearly has means, motive, and opportunity when it comes to these kinds of incidents. And the FBI has been caught, counterterrorism in particular, caught over and over orchestrating these kinds of events. So, speaking of this, there are a number of little excerpts that I want to get to. And maybe we'll start with Congressman Jim Jordan yesterday at the House Judiciary Committee hearing and his grilling of Deputy AG Rosenstein, which was, you know, as always, it's good theater. I'm always reminded of British Parliament, kind of what we have going on here in America. We're about 100 or 200 years behind British Parliament in terms of our theatrics, but they have good theater over in Britain, and we're not far behind. So I want to give you a couple of examples of that. The first is the Fox News video titled, What Fact Pattern Do You Need? Jim Jordan urges Rod Rosenstein to appoint second special counsel. And the second was Matt Getz and his reaction. Matt Getz reacts to Rod Rosenstein's testimony, so we'll get to that one in a second. But hopefully we can get to this one here in a minute. But Congressman Jim Jordan really laid out quite an extraordinary case. And the point, again, of mentioning these incidents is that the FBI has a pattern of behavior, and based on the recent revelations, we have come to know, and it's been proven, that the FBI, counterterrorism in particular, is corrupt to the highest levels. I mean, look at all of the folks that we've seen rounded up, virtually everyone on Mueller's special counsel are political operatives. I've talked in the past about, well, you know, you have Comey and Mueller. You know, Mueller going back to 9/11, that's a whole different discussion, but Comey and Mueller are buddies. McCabe and his corruption, FBI number two, you know, the collusion with Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, Dr. Jill McCabe, Andrew McCabe's wife, running for Virginia State Senate seat, receiving $700,000 in campaign funds from kind of at the behest of Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who himself is a Clinton operative. And with all the text messages between Strzok and his lover, as they're calling her in the press, the 10,000 text messages, it's pretty obvious that this is a very corrupt organization, which is very unfortunate. But it proves the possibility of corruption, does it not? And I've already laid out an extensive case of pattern of behavior, but there's more where that came from. We have out in the public sphere, social media in particular, speaking of means, motive, and opportunity, in 2004, the OSINT initiative, the Open Source Intelligence Initiative, kicked into high gear, which is the broader intelligence community initiative to spy on everyone everywhere, which coincided with the emergence of Facebook. That was not a coincidence. There have been a number of other harbingers. For example, most recently, of course, we had, well, not even most recently at this point, one of the most recent installments was the article that originally appeared back in December of last year in Das Magazine, the German publication by two German reporters. The article, as it came over here, was titled "The Data That Turned the World Upside Down," which featured the research of psychologist and psychographic specialist Michael Kaczynski. And these words from that article: "The strength of their modeling was illustrated by how well it could predict a subject's answers. Kaczynski continued to work on the models. Before long, he was able to evaluate a person." And this all fleshes out the Cambridge Analytica discussion. And as Zeynep Tufekci pointed out in her TED Talk back on November 17th, voter suppression, you know, you can get folks to turn out, but what the Trump campaign actually did that was very effective was suppress votes. So between social media campaign efforts and the interstate cross-check system, it was voter suppression in this case, not voter turnout, that was effectively used in rigging the election, you might say. The 2016 presidential election, that is, specifically. So continuing, before long, he, Michael Kaczynski, was able to evaluate a person better than the average work colleague merely on the basis of 10 Facebook likes. 70 likes were enough to outdo what a person's friends knew, 150 what their parents knew, and 300 likes what their partner knew. More likes could even surpass what a person thought they knew about themselves. Everyone's carrying a smartphone these days, and Kaczynski was quoted as saying, "Our smartphone is a vast psychological questionnaire that we are constantly filling out, both consciously and unconsciously." As I've mentioned in the past, this is why the apps are encouraged more than the websites, because your handheld device that you carry in your pocket probably doesn't have a sticker over the camera, and you're carrying it with you everywhere. It has all kinds of monitoring technology and capabilities that go far beyond what your desktop or laptop will allow. So that's why the app interfaces are usually pushed, so to speak. That story is shocking. As shocking as it is, the data that turned the world upside down, it builds on other stories, previous stories, like the story earlier this year, November 27th, Facebook rolls out AI to detect suicidal posts before they're reported. Remember that story over at TechCrunch? And from the story, in the future, AI, this is a quote from Mark Zuckerberg. He wrote that in the future, AI will be able to understand more of the subtle nuances of language and will be able to identify different issues beyond suicide as well, including quickly spotting more kinds of bullying and hate. And so Facebook is bragging that it can predict suicide now. It can predict suicidal behavior. But again, that gets back to Sinep Tefeki's TED Talk around the same time, November 17th of 2017, where she pointed out that the algorithms, the machine learning code bases, they're getting to the point where they can predict mania, for example. So when you consider all of this, again, thinking of means, motive, and opportunity, and there were the studies, the couple of Facebook studies that have been done, again, building on work in the past. There was the mood manipulation experiment from the Atlantic article titled "Everything We Know About Facebook's Secret Mood Manipulation Experiment." It was probably legal, but was it ethical? This published June of 2014. From the article, Facebook's news feed, the main list of status updates, messages, and photos you see when you open Facebook on your computer or phone, is not a perfect mirror of the world, not even a black scrying mirror. But I digress. But few users expect that Facebook would change their news feed in order to manipulate their emotional state. We know now that that's exactly what happened 2 years ago. For 1 week in January of 2012, data scientists skewed what almost 700,000 Facebook users saw when they logged into its service. This was part of their mood manipulation study, which eventually was published. Experimental evidence of massive scale emotional contagion through social networks. Significance from the report. We show via a massive 689,000 person experiment on Facebook that emotional states can be transferred to others via emotional contagion, leading people to experience the same emotions without their awareness. We provide experimental evidence that emotional contagion occurs without direct interaction between people, and in the complete absence of nonverbal cues. Think about that. So now, if you kind of go to where we're headed, if you understand where I'm headed with this, in the Sandy Hook instance, you have Trevor Aronson talking about folks with schizoaffective disorder. Would that include Adam Lanza? It seems it would, based on the fact that someone close to the family said that he hadn't left his bedroom in about 3 months before the incident. Very smart young man, but possibly troubled, you know, maybe somewhere on the ASD. Brilliant, trouble distinguishing fantasy from reality. Able to be programmed in ways. Who has means, motive, and opportunity to do these kinds of things? Who has a pattern of doing these kinds of things? Who can identify, who has the tools and the resources to identify these folks through social media? If Edward Snowden's revelations from 2013 showed us anything, combined with what WikiLeaks has subsequently released, which circulates in the broader intelligence community and the contractor world, in fact, so sometimes you don't even know, it might be a proxy of the intelligence community because, again, as R.J. Hillhouse pointed out back in 2007, the broader intelligence community has been largely or predominantly even outsourced. More than 50% of the intelligence community work is outsourced to private companies and contractors. But as WikiLeaks has pointed out, perhaps most notably in the Vault 7 release, there are a plethora of tools throughout the intelligence community and contractor world to allow companies to do just this kind of thing, to tap into social networks, to target certain individuals like the Adam Lanzas of the world that might be brilliant and troubled individuals that have the kind of fit a certain psychological profile. There are vast resources available, tools available at the disposal of the intelligence community, FBI, counterterrorism in particular. So you have that study, and then most recently we had the self-censorship study on Facebook. Self-censorship meaning you type in the box and then you back up, but guess what? All of your keystrokes were recorded precisely. Not just what you typed, but how you typed, when you typed, how fast you typed. That's been studied too. Only 3.9 million users though, so it's okay, right? We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Welcome back. We're going to switch it up here in this short segment, and instead of going to congressional proceedings yesterday, I want to give you a little excerpt from Zeynep Tufekci's talk. Speaking of those studies that have been done, how many examples of this do you need before you say, okay, this isn't a coincidence? And you notice that anytime something happens, almost immediately afterward, social media has been mined. Folks are even doing it themselves, their own little OSINT, where they go mine people's social media. But certainly the authorities, including the FBI, they'll go mine people's social media and say, you know, here we have this person doing this. So obviously the capability is there, but it's more than that. Again, the experiments on mood manipulation and the self-censorship, Facebook saying that it's excited about the fact that it can detect suicidal posts before they're reported, getting back to the self-censoring study along with mood manipulation, I would add. So here is Zeynep Tufekci in her TED Talk, "We're Building a Dystopia Just to Make People Click on Ads." A little excerpt. Go ahead, please.
You'd know what I was thinking right now if you were shown a cross-section of my brain. It's like we're not programming anymore, we're growing intelligence that we don't truly understand. And these things only work if there's an enormous amount of data. So they also encourage deep surveillance on all of us so that the machine learning algorithms can work. That's why Facebook wants to collect all the data it can about you. The algorithms work better. So let's push that Vegas example a bit. What if the system that we do not understand was picking up that it's easier to sell Vegas tickets to people who are bipolar and about to enter the manic phase? Such people tend to become overspenders, compulsive gamblers. They could do this, and you'd have no clue that's what they were picking up on. I gave this example to a bunch of computer scientists once, and afterwards, one of them came up to me. He's troubled. And he said, that's why I couldn't publish it. I was like, couldn't publish what? He had tried to see whether you can indeed figure out the onset of mania from social media posts before clinical symptoms. And it had worked. And it had worked very well. And he had no idea how it worked or what it was picking up on. Now, it The problem isn't solved if he doesn't publish it, because there are already companies that are developing this kind of technology, and a lot of the stuff is just off the shelf. This is not very difficult anymore. Do you ever go on YouTube meaning to watch one video, and an hour later you watch 27? You know how YouTube has this column on the right that says up next, and it autoplays something? It's an algorithm picking what it thinks that you might be interested in and maybe not find on your own. It's not a human editor. It's what algorithms do. It picks up on what you have watched and what people like you have watched and infers that that must be what you're interested in, what you want more of, and just shows you more. Sounds like a benign and useful feature, except when it isn't. So in 2016, I attended rallies of then-candidate Donald Trump to study, as a scholar, the movement supporting him. I studied social movements, so I was studying it too. And then I wanted to write something about one of his rallies, so I watched it a few times on YouTube. YouTube started recommending to me and autoplaying to me white supremacist videos in increasing order of extremism. If I watched one, it served up one even more extreme and autoplay that one too. If you watch Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders content, YouTube recommends and autoplays conspiracy left, and it goes downhill from there. Well, you might be thinking this is politics, but it's not. This isn't about politics. It's just the algorithm figuring out human behavior. I once watched a video about vegetarianism on YouTube, and YouTube recommended and autoplayed a video about being vegan. It's like you're never hardcore enough for YouTube. So what's going on? Now, YouTube's algorithm is proprietary, but here's what I think is going on. The algorithm has figured out that if you can entice people into thinking that you can show them something more hardcore, they're more likely to stay on the site watching video after video going down that rabbit hole while Google serves them ads. Now, with nobody minding the ethics of the store, these sites can profile people who are Jew haters, who think that Jews are parasites, and who
or
are
how
such
about folks that have schizoaffective disorder? Can they be profiled? Folks that might be good Manchurian candidates, stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. All right, so the possibility exists. We're running out of time here, but we're going to come back to Sandy Hook, I assure you. Part three coming up, Requiem Sandy Hook. But first, just kind of underscoring the point of corruption and really to the highest levels in the FBI's counterterrorism division in particular. This video that I mentioned earlier, Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, questioning Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein, the video on YouTube titled, "What Fact Pattern Do You Need?" Jim Jordan urges Rod Rosenstein to appoint second special counsel. Go ahead, please.
Jordan for 5 minutes.
Did the FBI pay Christopher Steele, and was the dossier the basis for securing warrants at the FISA court to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign? Really, when you sum it all up, it boils down to those fundamental questions. Did you pay the guy who wrote it? And did you use what he wrote, disproven, discredited dossier paid for by the Clinton campaign? Did you use it to go get warrants to spy on Americans? That's what it comes down to. And you're the guy who can answer those questions. And yesterday I was convinced that the answer to those questions was probably yes. But today I'm even more convinced the answer is yes, based on the text messages we got to read early this morning. Mr. Rosenstein, you know Peter Strzok, you familiar with that name?
Yes, I'm familiar with the name. And,
former deputy head of counterintelligence at the FBI? Peter Strzok, that one?
I don't know his precise title, but yes, he had a significant role in...
Peter Strzok ran the Clinton campaign, interviewed Mills, Abedin, Clinton, changed the exoneration letter from gross negligence to extreme carelessness. Peter Strzok, who ran the Russian investigation, interviewed Mike Flynn. Peter Strzok, selected by Mr. Mueller to be on his team. That Peter Strzok, we learned, had all these text messages. We got to read some of them early this morning. Now, as my colleagues have pointed out, some of them are, you know, they show he didn't like Trump. He and Ms. Page are exchanging text messages back and forth, show they don't like the president. But that's nothing new. Everyone on Mueller's team, no one on Mueller's team likes Trump. We already knew that. But I want to focus on one in particular. One in particular. And this is a text message from Mr. Strzok to Ms. Page, recalling a conversation and a meeting that took place in Andrew McCabe's office, deputy director of the FBI, recalling a meeting earlier. And Mr. Strzok says this: I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. Then there's a break. Dash, it says that there's no way he gets elected. No way Trump gets elected. He says, I want to believe that. You said that in the meeting in Andrew McCabe's office. I want to believe that. But then he goes, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. Now, this goes to intent. He says, we can't take the risk. That, you know, the people of this great country might elect Donald Trump president. We can't take this risk. This is Peter Strzok, head of counterintelligence at the FBI. This is Peter Strzok, who I think had a hand in that dossier that was all dressed up and taken to the FISA court. He's saying, we can't take the risk. We have to do something about it. Now, don't forget the timeline here either, Mr. Rosenstein. Peter Strzok, January 10th, he's the guy who changes the exoneration letter from gross negligence, criminal standard, to extreme carelessness. July 2nd, he's the guy who sets in on the Clinton interview. July 5th, 2016, that's when Comey has the press conference and says, we're not going to prosecute. Clinton's okay, we're not going to prosecute. And then August 2016, we have this text message. The same month that the Russian investigation is opened at the FBI, August 2016. And my guess is that's the same month that the application was taken to the FISA court to get the warrants to spy on Americans. Using this dossier that the Clinton campaign paid for, Democrats paid for, fake news, all dressed up, taken to the court. So I got really just a couple basic questions. Because it seems to me if the answer to any of these of those two questions, if the answer is yes, if you guys paid Christopher Steele at the same time the Democrats and the Clinton campaign were paying, or if you took the dossier, dressed it all up, took it to the FISA court, and used that as the basis to get warrants, and now we have intent in this text message saying that there's another text message. My colleague referenced it earlier, where Mr. Strzok says, I can protect our country at many levels. Says it with all the humility he could muster. I can protect our country at many levels. This guy thought he was Super Agent James Bond at the FBI. This is obvious. I'm afraid we can't take that risk. We can't. There's no way we can let the American people make Donald Trump the next president. I got to protect our country. This is unbelievable. And I'm here to tell you, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the public trust in this whole thing is gone. So it seems to me you got two things you can do. You're the guy in charge. You're the guy who picked Mueller. You're the guy who wrote the memo saying why he needed to fire Comey. You're the guy in charge. You could disband the Mueller special prosecutor, and you can do what we've all called for. Appoint a second special counsel to look into this, to look into Peter Strzok, Bruce Orr, everything else we've learned in the last several weeks.
Yes, Congressman, and I can assure you that I consider it very important to make sure the thorough review is done, and our Inspector General is doing a thorough review. That's how we found those text messages as part of that review.
Let me, you've given that answer like 15 times. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned? I mean, this is what a lot of Americans are believing right now, and I certainly do, that the Comey FBI and the Obama Justice Department worked with one campaign to go after the other campaign. That's what everything points to. Think about what we've learned in the last several weeks. We first learned they paid for the dossier. Then we learned about Peter Strzok. And last week we learned about Bruce Orr and his wife, Nellie. I mean, this is unbelievable. So what's it going to take to get a second special counsel to answer these questions and find out, was Peter Strzok really up to what I think he was?
I think it's important to understand, Congressman, we have an inspector general who has 500 employees and a $100 million budget. And this is what he does. He investigates allegations of misconduct involving department employees. That review that he is conducting is what turned up those text messages. It will also involve interviews of those persons and of other witnesses.
So we're looking forward to his report, and we've met with Mr. Horowitz, and we're anxiously awaiting that report. But that doesn't dismiss the fact that the country thinks we need a second special counsel. 20 members of this committee, the Judiciary Committee, with primary jurisdiction over the Justice Department, thinks we need a second special counsel. All kinds of senators think we need a special counsel. What fact pattern do you have to have? What kind of text message do you have to see before you say it's time for a second special counsel?
I want to assure you, Congressman, as I think the Attorney General explained, we take very seriously the concerns of 20 members of this committee or one member of this committee, but we have a responsibility to make an independent determination, and we will.
that.
I thank the chair.
The chair recognizes the...
So that pretty clearly demonstrates the corruption that's happening. And, you know, the more I hear Rod Rosenstein, the more I dislike him. Next up, we have Matt Gaetz reacting to Rod Rosenstein's testimony. This was on Fox News at night last night with Shannon Bream. So here's that. Go ahead, please.
More than 300 text messages from a demoted FBI agent were the talk of the town today in those testy Capitol Hill hearings with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. The agent, Peter Strzok, who was part of the Mueller special counsel team, called the president an idiot, among much other worse things. Here's how Rosenstein addressed the situation today.
The issue of bias is something different. I've discussed this with Director Mueller, and we recognize we have employees with political opinions, and it's our responsibility to make sure those opinions do not influence their actions. I believe that Director Mueller understands that, and that he is running that office appropriately, recognizing that people have political views, but ensuring that those views are not in any way a factor in how they conduct themselves in office.
Republican Congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz, joins us now. All right, are you buying what he's selling today?
Oh, well, absolutely not. You would think from Mr. Rosenstein's testimony that these are people just saying, well, I like Hillary Clinton or I dislike Donald Trump. The entire reason that we have a special counsel process is to escape from conflicts of interest. But here, we seem to have dove head first into like an orgy of conflicts of interest right in Mueller's team. You've got two key relationships here. You've got Mr. Strzok and his mistress, who continue to say these terrible things, not only about the president, but about their plans to, in fact, come in and save the country and be the insurance policy. So these are action items, Shannon, not just beliefs.
Do you give Mueller credit, though, when those were brought to his attention by the inspector general, that he dismissed Strzok?
Yeah, but it wasn't Mueller that found him. Like, he had to basically get busted by his own inspector general before this happened. Look, we should have had a process in place to vet the people on the Mueller team. Now, it's either one of two things. You got a circumstance where Mueller was expressly bringing people onto his team as a consequence of his bias, or he didn't care about the bias. But in either circumstance, you shouldn't have, like, the Never Trump group being the group that's investigating the president.
Okay, you're not a fan of this special counsel. Do you think there should be a second special counsel now to look into these allegations, as many other people are saying? They need to look at the FBI, the DOJ.
Of course, all Americans want to have confidence in the Department of Justice and the FBI, and right now that confidence is shattered because they've been turned into partisan political operations where people are able to go and persecute the President of the United States, which with information that is totally dubious. And I think to restore that, we've got to have more transparency, checks and balances, and stronger reporting to the Congress. It is really insulting to be a member of Congress and have the Deputy Attorney General not answer basic questions about whether taxpayer money was used to buy a dossier to undermine the president.
Okay, to this point about a secondary special counsel, this is what Senator Blumenthal, of course a Democrat on the other side of Capitol Hill, tweeted apparently today. He said, Rosenstein stood strong against disgraceful attacks by GOP congressmen on Mueller inquiry today, a shameful effort to distract and sabotage the investigation with deceptive calls for second special counsel.
Look, we have an oversight responsibility where if things aren't working right at the FBI or Department of Justice, we are the elected representatives of the people to ensure that you've got a fair process for all Americans. The evidence is overwhelming. The currently deputy director of the FBI wrote emails saying that Hillary Clinton was going to be treated special. At the same time, you've got the folks investigating the president, like Mr. Strzok, saying that, you know, he could smell the Trump voters at Walmart and that this election should have been 100 million to zero and that there's no reasonable person that could have ever voted for Donald Trump. This is bias, but it's leading to action that is totally illegitimate, and we have a responsibility to get to the bottom of it.
Do you get a second special counsel on that point?
We absolutely should. Look, I mean, right now...
Do you think you will, though?
Well, that depends on the Attorney General. We've called on the Attorney General to step up and do his job or step aside. Right now, frankly, we see Rosenstein having more influence at the Department of Justice than our own Attorney General, and I think he could be strong right now, appoint a second special counsel, and restore confidence in these agencies that are absolutely essential to the functioning of our government and our society.
All right, politics aside, you and I do agree on college football. Go Noles.
Absolutely. So go there, Noles. And super excited.
There you go.
About
That's to the corruption, to the issue of corruption. You know, on that note, I mean, it's extensively and well documented at this point. And this is, again, this is not a partisan issue. James Rosen over at Fox has been doing some great reporting on this subject. Some of the headlines that he's been involved in going back to December 3rd and coming forward. Mueller aide fired for anti-Trump texts, now facing review for role in Clinton email probe. FBI investigates possible anti-Trump bias by top agent. Top DOJ official demoted amid probe of contacts with Trump dossier firm. Top DOJ official demoted after contact with dossier authors. Deeper connection revealed between Fusion GPS DOJ official, wife of demoted DOJ official, worked for firm behind anti-Trump dossier. That's just a few of the headlines. And, you know, this again, this proves a pattern of behavior and corruption to the highest levels. We're running out of time, so I'm going to skip over a little bit. As I said, Requiem Sandy Hook. I want to give you the results of the case. This from the Palm Beach Post. FAU professor loses free speech battle. Lawyer calls media prostitutes, which I don't think is terribly inaccurate. So we'll see where that goes. But as we close in on the end of this segment, here is WPTV's coverage of that. Go ahead, please.
A Florida Atlantic University professor who once called the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary a hoax lost his fight to get his job back.
Let's go to News Channel 5's Wanda Moore live at the federal courthouse. Wanda?
Michael and Kelly, the jury decided that the university had the right to fire Professor James Tracy. Tracy claimed FAU fired him because of his online writings and in turn violated his First Amendment rights. FAU denied that, saying they fired Tracy because he did not follow the rules. University officials said they took action after Tracy reportedly refused to fill out a form notifying the administration of his outside work. The jury agreed with FAU, ruling his block was not a motivating factor in the decision to fire him.
I could not be happier for FAU. It's been going on for years, and it was time that the record got set straight.
Tracy refused to comment afterwards, but his attorneys maintained FAU retaliated against Tracy for exercising his First Amendment rights.
Unlawfully terminated. And we look forward to pursuing all of our options, including appeal, in order to protect Dr. Tracy's rights.
So you do plan to
Thank
appeal?
You. No comment. No comment.
Shame on you. Shame on you, fake news. Get some more footage. Spin it. Go ahead, spin it. Get some more shots. Some more headlines. Why don't you get away? Go. Give him a break. Get out of here. Get out of here. Take a walk. Take a walk, bro. Get out of here. Prostitutes.
FAU released a statement saying that they're grateful about the verdict and that they're going to continue to prioritize their research and education mission. We're live in West Palm Beach, one of more WPTV News Channel 5.
And no spin, by the way, I interviewed the mother of a Sandy Hook victim, a child. 20 kids killed that day, 6 adults. She said it was heartbreaking that anybody could claim it was a hoax. Try telling her there was any spin as she continues to grieve the loss of her child.
Yeah, see? Massive propaganda campaign. Including but not limited to the James Tracy verdict, the propaganda like the latest Sandy Hook promise entry, tomorrow's news nonsense. We played that video. Stick around. We'll be right back. Final segment coming up right after this short break.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil. for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast on this fifth anniversary of the events, whatever did or didn't happen on December 14th, 2012. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The great masquerade of evil has played havoc with all our ethical concepts. The reasonable people's failure is obvious. With the best intentions and a naive lack of realism, they think that with a little reason, they can bend back into position the framework that has gone out of joint. They get entangled in non-essentials and fall into the trap set by clever people." Whatever happened or didn't happen on December 14th, 2012, it's clear that certain folks have means, motive, and opportunity at the very least, to exploit incidents like those. And when folks like James Tracy come along to try to get to the bottom of things in an effort to make sure that we're not being deceived and misled, to have the points that Naomi Wolf lined out be applied to someone like James Tracy is a frightening and provocative realization. Again, the steps to closing down a free society that apply: number 7, target key individuals; number 8, control the press; number 9, cast criticism as espionage and dissent as treason; and perhaps even number 10, subvert the rule of law. Looking at some of the headlines in the videos that have come out, mainstream videos, mainstream news, makes it fairly self-evident that political agendas are certainly being advanced. CBS News, the gun debate 5 years after Sandy Hook massacre. Good Morning America, 5 years after tragedy, family members of Sandy Hook shooting victims work for change. Really, what kind of change? CBS News, how Sandy Hook changed American schools. Again, CBS News, searching for common ground on guns after Sandy Hook. CBS News, how active shooter training has changed in schools since Sandy Hook. Los Angeles Times, researchers find increase in gun violence after Sandy Hook shootings. That's a disingenuous headline. These are just some of the examples of a political agenda clearly being advanced, which is, if families truly were harmed, it's reprehensible that folks would exploit that for political means and political gain. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Hopefully it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.